Tired of confusing jargon on your toilet paper offering mega rolls and jumbo rolls? What's the biggest available, you may ask? Well, we have an answer for you. Dixco presents the Monster Roll. This two-ply, dual-quilted, soft and sturdy shit paper is a quality you'll want to keep using for years to come. And good news! Our two-day delivery service will bring it to your door and carry it straight to where you want to make your dukes. Why? Dixco Monster Rolls are the size of a washer-dryer. Targets won't sell them. Amazon doesn't want them in inventory. But you will be satisfied knowing you have the absolute biggest roll on the market.
Honey, we're out of toilet paper.
Haha, you should have got the Dixco Monster Roll. Act now before you run out again.
It's 8 o'clock. Wheelbarrow full of dicks begins right fucking now.
Guys, welcome to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program. I am Mike. I am joined, of course, by my good friends. Mr. Drunkard STL on the Twitters is sitting next to me here.
Thank you.
Oh, boy.
From the great state of Wisconsin. Popcorn bitch, Hustlin' Hulse, the king of pranks, guys. Travis. Hi, Travis.
Oh, the pleasure is all mine. Thank you.
The pleasure is yours?
The pleasure is all mine. Thank you so much.
Now I want some.
Nope.
Guys, Matt is here as well. Hi, Matt. How are you?
Hi, guys.
Matt, I hope you're well.
I'm great, buddy.
Are you
just great?
Matt, are you really great?
No, I'm not.
You're not great?
No, but what am I going to do about it?
Are you having a time?
Oh, there's a time to be had.
Oh, boy.
Those just times.
Matt, people keep telling me I'm not acting like myself, and I don't know what to do about it. Like,
they keep telling you what?
They keep saying, hey, Mike, you're not acting like yourself.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I don't know what
That's
it means.
That's the first question I asked them, too.
Nobody elaborates?
Mikey, you're not acting like yourself. My parents, they sent me a text message. They said, hey, we talked to you on the phone earlier. You weren't acting like yourself. And
Who are you acting like?
I don't know. I'm not acting like myself, apparently. And so, like, now that's, like, what I'm thinking about. I'm thinking, well, shit. How do I act more like myself? So people keep telling me this. Like, they keep telling me.
Did you check in with your wife to see?
No, she said, I'm not acting like myself.
She said that too?
Yeah. Acting.
Everybody.
Acting weird.
I told him.
What are you doing?
I told him you act the same on Mondays.
I don't know.
Or Tuesdays.
I don't know. I've been thinking about it. I've been trying to figure out what it is that I'm doing that's not myself. How do I be more like myself, Matt?
Yeah.
Matt, it's hot out, you know. And.
Yeah, we're having some weather.
Maybe that's what it is. It's hot out.
Ooh. Yeah.
Travis, there was a fella who posted the list of his 50 best rappers.
It was all snow.
And everybody just went crazy. They were like, oh my God, you picked the wrong rappers. And so, Travis, I thought that maybe like throughout the show, we should just pepper in like the best everything. Like, Travis, what's the best fruit?
Probably, you know,
apples are good. Apples are good fruit.
I eat bananas more than anything else, but I wouldn't say that was the best fruit, right?
Bananas are kind of mushy.
Oh, you can't be like, too ripe.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think every fruit kind of has their time, right? Like, You know, you can't just say what
the best
fruit is.
There's literally no time for a pomegranate.
No, apples, I disagree.
Apple's the best fruit, I think.
I like good pomegranate.
You like spitting out those, there's nothing on them. It's seeds.
There's lots of good fruits, Matt. I'm not saying other fruits are bad. I'm just saying apple is probably the best fruit.
No, apple's
best
not
fruit.
The best fruit.
You know, we have a lot of fruit in the house a lot.
Oh, no.
And so it begins.
We were doing so good for so many weeks.
I'll tell you what the best communication platform for doing a podcast is.
Skype?
Not Skype.
No, it is not. Guys, phone number to contact the show, 636-487-HAND. If you'd like to give us a call and tell us what the best something is. Matt.
I would say I'm kind of partial to the strawberry.
How am I not on? You're on. I hear you, Travis. Fan. I hear you, Travis.
And then I guess my number two would probably be the pineapple.
See, I like a grapefruit, but like a grapefruit is sour enough that I think it would turn some people off.
I think I agree with Drunk about the
grapes.
Pineapple.
I'm talking about grapes. Just grapes in general are fucking, they rule.
Grapes are
in the freezer.
Grapes are good.
You ever had the cotton candy grapes?
No, I don't like that.
I like a pineapple, but I'm going to tell you the problem with pineapple is too hard to get into. It's too hard to get that pineapple out of there.
You know what you do with a pineapple? You buy it, you leave it on the counter until you guilt your wife into cutting it open and placing it in chunks.
But a nice apple, guys, like apples, you don't have to peel. Like, you just fucking eat an apple.
But there's the core, and the core kind of fucking stinks to fucking eat around. And I
like a raspberry, but the goddamn granules, the little seeds always get stuck.
Now, let's talk
teeth.
About cherries for a second, because cherries rule. They're expensive as shit, but a bag of cherries, man.
Oh, you spit those seeds all over the place.
Cherry flavored things are the best fruit flavored things, but cherries themselves kind of suck.
No, cherries rule.
I disagree with you there.
Guys,
cherries are awesome.
A good peach when they're nice and ripe.
Drunk. Now you're starting to tickle my balls.
See, if you're going to talk about peaches, just give me a nectarine.
I was talking to Drunk out in the driveway before the program. And
outside the studios?
I was saying, you know,
in this heat?
It's actually kind of pleasant out, Matt. It's not too bad.
In front of the world headquarters.
Now, this is an easy one. This is one we can all agree on. What's the best season?
Is it fall?
It's fall, isn't it?
Yeah. It's fall. No, every other season is fall.
I like spring because it's like, ooh, we're getting back into it. But by the time the middle of the summer is here, I'm like, God, I wish it was fall.
Yeah, fall is the best. Winter, we can all agree, is the worst, right?
No. Winter blows.
Fuck winter.
I enjoy winter.
Fuck winter. Summer's better than winter. Spring is better than winter. Fall's better than winter. Winter, you may think, is fine, Drunk, but it's definitely the worst of the four.
Winter's
fine. Yeah.
Guys, I was talking to Drunk.
I like to wear my hoodie.
I was telling Drunk, you know.
Hoodie and shorts, man, is the best.
My best story is my Blink-182 story, and I haven't told it on the program since 2012. And Drunk said,
that was the last time you told the story?
I don't even remember that story. We looked it up. Drunk wasn't even here. Nobody was here when I told my Blink-182 story.
I didn't, like, have a... Well, I mean, I was on episodes, but I wasn't, like, a regular guy until, like, three episodes later.
Guys, I have, like, three stories. There was one time when I saw a wiener dog eating a pumpkin. There was one time that I fainted in chemistry class, and my Blink-182 story, Matt.
I don't know.
Let's not forget about all the stories at Pizza Hut.
The Precious Moment story was pretty good, too.
What Precious Moment?
And I'm not talking about just
where you gave
the
little third grader the Precious Moment.
Oh, Amy
like
Hogue.
The Pizza Hut memoirs, Matt?
Yeah, just the fact that, you know, so this is a story about when I worked at Pizza Hut.
Matt, I was working at the storage place. And if you work at a storage place, you work in an office by yourself. That comes into play later in the story. I win tickets on the radio.
Really quick, Mike, before we get into this, what was the story? Remind me of the story about when you were working at the storage place and some broad was giving out old, like, Hostess pies or some shit. Was it Hostess pies?
No, that was at my current job. She was bringing in Little Debbie shit. Just brought in tons of Little Debbie shit.
Oh yeah. Get back to your story.
Those are
poison, buddy.
Her husband. So, oh so God, Matt, I'll tell you what. It wasn't good for my figure.
No.
But when that lady came walking down the hall with a cart full of Little Debbie shit and just said, everybody have some, you find out who your friends are real quick, Matt, because I mean they'll bite your goddamn hand if you reach for them.
Sure.
So what's the best Little Debbie?
Honey buns.
Star Crunch.
I'm partial to the old school oatmeal cream pie myself.
You know, I really like a nutty bar.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, I guess.
I like an oatmeal cream pie.
Little Debbie brownies, but with the nuts, not those shitty M&M nuts.
Yeah, fuck those
the
brownies.
The cosmic.
Yeah, cosmic the ones with the nuts are the best. It's really hard, Drunk, but I'm gonna say the best Little Debbie is oatmeal cream pie.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Followed by
big fan of the Christmas offering, the Christmas tree.
I mean, Matt, they're all good. I mean, it's sweet poison.
Followed by
it's compressed sugar.
Followed by the zebra cake. Flavoring. And then after the zebra cake, it's the
zebra cake all the way. Yeah, 100%.
Guys, while we're on sweets, what's the best ice cream flavor? I'm gonna go chocolate chip cookie dough. Best ice cream flavor.
Any chocolate with like brownie and like that weird like peanut butter, like hard peanut butter.
So he's
flowing
saying,
through
he's
it.
He's saying moose tracks is basically what he's saying.
Travis, is there anything that isn't better with peanut butter?
Peanut butter is
really pretty fucking good.
One of my favorite things to order at the old Culver's is like a chocolate banana peanut butter concrete mixer.
You know, like when people say, "Oh, this is the best," don't at me. Please, at me. Tell me how I'm wrong so that I can engage you.
Holy shit, you aren't acting like yourself.
I'm a Rocky Road guy, Mike.
So
the chocolate ice cream, the marshmallow, the nut.
Travis, I win tickets to go see Blink 182.
The original lineup, I hope.
Yes, this was years ago. This was like 2011.
Mark, Tom, and Travis.
Who were they on tour with?
I don't remember. I don't think anybody.
Actually think I remember this tour. It was like 2011, 2012, and they did some dates with Fall Out Boy and some dates with Weezer.
It wasn't either of them. I would remember that.
I think it was 311, wasn't it?
That sounds more like it could be right, because I would have cared if it was Weezer or Fallout Boy. If it was 311, I probably wouldn't have been all that excited. 311 might be the most overrated shit band of all time.
They played at Warped Tour this year, and I couldn't have been more excited not to be there.
Whoa! Anyway, so I
hate 311.
I drive.
The first time I was ever in a college dormitory, the first thing that I heard in a college dormitory in like the late 90s was 311 blaring down the hallways at like obnoxious levels.
Travis, I drive downtown to pick up the tickets that I've won on the radio. I have two seats for the Blink 182 concert.
Seats.
By the way, I don't know many people who win radio fucking like tickets, like those radio sweepstakes. Mike Moore wins more of those fucking things than anybody.
Because he actually takes the time to, you know, listen and call.
Yeah,
but I always figured that they were fake. Like, they just had a sales guy who was...
No, Matt, I win all the time.
I've won sports tickets on the radio because I listen to a lot of the sports radio. But...
Actually, for whatever reason, now on a lot of the radio stations, they have, like, if you listen online for a certain amount of time, you can enter a sweepstakes to win. And Laura, well, I mean, it's me, but it's under Laura's name. I do both of our names to increase my chances, God. Matt. Matt, sure. If he can go to concerts for free, why not, right? But I only sign up for one.
No, I get it. I just didn't think that anybody actually ever won those.
So is this at the outdoor venue or
the stadium
downstairs?
Is it River
downtown?
Okay. Get K-dirt with pay dirt.
So I get the tickets back home. I mean, you drive all the way downtown. I've invested time into it. And I go to hockey that night. I'm telling the boys, guys, I got two tickets to go see Blink 182. Who wants to go with me?
Yeah.
Nobody wants to go.
That's crazy.
Dude, I don't like Blink 182. I don't care about that. Laura says, dude, I don't want to go see Blink 182.
Laura really isn't even into seeing them.
No, no, no. Nobody wants to go see.
You didn't ask your good buddy Drunk.
That we don't live closer because I would be going to all these shows with you.
Matt, I love Mark, Tom, and Travis.
Me too.
Matt, I don't care about Blink 182, but I would have went. It would have been a good time. It's fun. So I get to a point where I'm sitting here with these two tickets. The show is the next night, and I have no one to go with. So I just say, you know what? Fuck it. I already invested the time to drive downtown. I feel like I've earned the right to like sell these two tickets for $20 just to make it worth my time to have driven downtown to get them. Put them on Craigslist, Matt. I put them on Craigslist. I say, hey, I got these two tickets to go see Blink 182. And
he could have just called your good buddy Drunk, and he would have just came over and got him.
Drunk, at this time, we weren't the friends that we are now, you know?
You were just the guy I got free Pizza Hut from.
Right.
You guys weren't quite the inseparable duo you are today.
Right. See, me and Drunk, we were friends of friends who have been thrust into the world of podcasting, where we found our common interests, Travis, and really formed a strong bond. So this lady, she emails me and she says, hey, I will buy your Blink 182 tickets. Where can we meet? I'm selling them $20 for the pair, Matt. It's a bargain, you know?
That's really, that's a great deal.
It's almost not even worth your time to like sell them for that price.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm thinking, well, I drove all the way downtown. I invested the time. I should like get something out of them, right? I shouldn't just give them to somebody.
Put a tank of gas in your car.
And besides, I'm not giving them to one of my friends. They all said they didn't want to go.
Yeah.
What, now they're going to go with somebody other than me? Fuck that! So,
that'd be shitty.
I says to the gal, I says, hey, you know, it's already late. The concert's tomorrow. I work in an office by myself. You come to my office. I gave her the address. This random Craigslist person, I gave her the address to my job. And I said, you come here, you give me $20, I'll give you the tickets. She says, cool. Next day, I'm at work, and an older woman comes in to my office, and she says, are you the guy selling the Blink 182 tickets? I said, yes. And I reach for the envelope that I have the tickets in. She says, wait, I am not the person buying the tickets.
Right.
Which is curious, Matt, because how does she know that I'm selling the tickets?
How does she know? How could she even know?
She says, my son's girlfriend emailed you, and they are on drugs.
What type of drugs?
When they come here, we are going to take them.
Oh boy.
To rehab. We just don't know where they are, and we know they're coming here. And so I says to the lady, you know, this doesn't sound like, I mean, like, there's going to be
this is a workplace, lady.
There's going to be a kidnapping in the parking lot of my place of employment, Trent.
This is too much. Like, this is just above and beyond your responsibility.
Now,
did you ask her how much you're going to give her for the tickets?
Matt, not to toot my own horn, but you're hooked right now, aren't you?
No,
I'm telling you, Matt, this is my only good story. I'm trying to be more like myself. Matt, so I says to the lady, I don't want to be here. I don't want you guys to like kidnap people in the parking lot. And then like the last the last communication they've had is where they're going to meet me.
Yeah, that's true.
So she says, well, we'll let them come in and buy the tickets first.
Oh no.
Oh, you're gonna get your 20.
That's even worse. Now you're complete accomplice in the kidnapping.
So I says no. I'm gonna leave. So like I had to go make a bank run. I had to take the money to the bank, and I took an extra long time to get me a McDonald's breakfast, and I camped out for a while, Matt. And I was just thinking, I don't want to go back there. There's a there's a kidnapping going on. I ran.
And the problem is not only is this your work, this is your house.
It is. Lived at the storage place. Yeah. So I fled the scene, Matt. I didn't want to be a part of it. And so I come back, and I'm thinking, oh, it must have gone down. There's no one here anymore. And soon after I came back in, I took I had to put a little clock on the door that said when I'd be returning.
Which was way off, probably.
Yeah. I milked it. And so the woman comes back in, Matt, but she's brought her husband with.
Of course.
With her.
Because he's also worried about his drug
addict daughter. And they say, they never showed up. Did you tell them we were here? Yeah, of course. And I said, I don't know your son. I don't know him. I don't know the girl. I don't know any of these people. I don't want to be part of this. Please leave. Go
away, please. I don't want anything to do with this.
I don't want anything to do with this. I was creeped the fuck out. And so the father said, everybody needs to calm down. I'll tell you what.
He said that? He said everybody has to calm down?
Well, at this point, I'm a bit animated, man. I'm telling this woman, hey, you need to get out. Get out of here. Go.
Did you use any bleep words?
I didn't. No, because I was trying to... I'm at my job. I'm trying to be professional.
Right. He's a professional. Even though he's trying to sell tickets to drug addicts, he's a professional.
The man offers to buy the tickets. He says to me, hey, I'll give you the $20 for the tickets. If they come here, just tell them I have them.
The $20.
Right. And so
all this for $20.
What I
would have told them, no, price is doubled now. If you want to get me involved in this, they're now $40, well, and then I'll tell them you have them.
Travis, in retrospect, that's probably what I should have done. But you know what I did instead? Probably the dumbest thing a person could do.
Oh, no.
I just gave the man the tickets. I said, take the tickets. I don't want your money. Just leave.
Oh, this is a scam for them to go to the Blink-182 concert.
I know. Yep.
Story's not
they
over.
Have to go to that.
Keep going.
Elderly couple takes the tickets. You know, what the man probably should have said is, no, that's not right. But he was fine with it. He was like, oh, yeah, no problem. Took the tickets, got in their car. They left. 3 hours later, I get a phone call. It's a younger gentleman asking me if I still have the tickets because him and his girlfriend had emailed me and they wanted to come get them. And I says to the man, I says, hey, man, I don't have the tickets anymore. Your parents were here.
Oh, boy.
And I gave them to them. And so he put a hand over the mouth part of the phone and was whispering to someone. And he goes, why were my parents there? And I said, I don't know. You might want to ask them. And he says, was the guy bald?
Oh, no.
And I said, yes, the guy was bald.
Right.
He said, oh, fuck, that was my dad.
Did he? But, okay, so.
Man, I have no idea who went to the Blink-182 concert. I have no idea if the tickets got used. I learned, I did not find out the end of the story. That's my Blink-182 story.
Those two people who were originally going to get the tickets went home, got the tickets, took them down by the venue and scalped them for like quadruple the price.
There's no way that they could have planned that I was going to give them the tickets.
This was a heist. Yeah. They saw somebody was all like,
the
let
man
me give
took
you
a
my
20.
Work.
The man took a 20 out of his wallet, and I refused it.
They got you all worked up hoping you would be like, just get out of here, take the tickets and go. That's how they got you worked up, and then they pretended to offer you a 20. It probably was a fake. And then you just gave it to. They knew it was going to happen. There was a big thing. As soon as they saw somebody be like, come to my workplace, here is the address, they were like, ah, ha, ha, we got them.
Travis always has these wild theories.
Yeah. He thinks that everybody has like these big, crazy.
But with that being said, he has bought and sold more than any of us here combined.
He's a hustler.
That's true.
So he's seen some shit for sure.
I'm a bad salesman, I guess. That's why I got fired from that job, by the way. I worked there for 7.5 years, and then my boss fired me because I was a bad salesman. It makes sense.
Don't storage units sell themselves?
Yeah, I mean, like you get evicted or you get divorced, and you need to put your stuff somewhere.
You gotta hide something.
So,
Drunk, what's the best TV show? Like of all time, best TV show?
Game of Thrones.
No, come on. You can't give it to Game of Thrones. That fucking, they've had seasons of failure seasons.
Well, what are you going to give it to, Matt? Friends?
Oh, Matt loves Frasier.
Dude,
I love Friends. I think Friends is a great show.
The Office?
No.
Office is pretty good. Honestly.
Law and Order SVU?
I'm on my like third rewatch of The Office on
Netflix. The Office is great, man.
Yeah,
The Office,
I can watch that anytime.
There's some dud episodes, but like their seasons, they have really amazing episodes. Like I don't know, man. Breaking Bad was really good. That comes to mind.
If you're going by straight episodes watched, I probably watched every episode of Archer probably 10 times.
Okay, so, I mean, it's either The Sopranos or Quantum Leap, and then we just move on to the next one.
South Park is...
There was some real weak shit in The Sopranos. I recently watched it all for the first time, and I loved it and really enjoyed it, but now that there's been so much more TV, like, Sopranos was like a pioneer in that kind of television drama. But now, since I've seen so much more TV, it's like, yeah, all right. I mean, there's a lot of filler in The Sopranos.
All right, Travis, call it. Best TV show.
The Wire.
The first season of Dexter.
The first four seasons of Dexter were amazing.
Yeah.
They peaked at the John Lithgow season.
I'd say with Dexter, if you see Jimmy Smith, it's time to bail.
Yeah.
Yeah, second you see Jimmy Smith, just go, oh, nope, this show's over. Done.
That goes for Sons of Anarchy as well.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it does. Pretty much when you see Jimmy Smith didn't start off on, Jimmy Smith did start on NYPD Blue, didn't he?
No,
that was,
David Caruso.
Caruso.
And then,
no, oh, yeah.
Jimmy Smith was like three deep.
Once you see Jimmy Smith.
Yeah.
Actually, Sons Jimmy Smith was pretty good on NYPD Blue. I'd say once you see Zach Morris, it's probably...
Even Ricky Schroeder was pretty good.
I didn't like Ricky Schroeder on NYPD.
But yeah, most times, guys, once you see Jimmy Smits, it's time to be done with that show.
Yeah.
If you're binging, just say, oh, Jimmy Smits.
What about Wings?
Wings.
Oh, that was the show. That was the show that kept me from going to most of the first half of my school day when I was in high school. Because I'd get up in the morning and I'd smoke weed. And then all of a sudden, Wings would be on for like an hour and a half. And I'd be like, well, fuck, I can't go to the first two periods because I got to watch and see what the fuck these guys are doing in this airport terminal.
You know, I would ask guys best president, but we weren't alive for all of them. And I mean, like, I think that most people would probably say George Washington just because he was the first one.
I don't know that I'd even have an opinion on that, truthfully.
Yeah, I was gonna say I don't know that I would either. Yeah. I would have an opinion either.
Thomas Jefferson bought half of them America.
That was pretty good. I mean, he got a pretty good deal too.
He did.
And I mean, like that half—that's the good half, isn't it?
I mean, it's the half that we live in. So
yeah. So
the top half.
we'll go ahead and give it to Jefferson. Jefferson is the
west of the Mississippi
best president, guys, because he got a really good deal on.
Wasn't the economy pretty great when Bill Clinton was in office?
Yeah,
they say, but a lot of that has to do with Reagan. I don't. It's hard to say.
But Reagan wasn't like how far removed was Reagan?
Was Bush? Bush was.
Yeah, Bush was right before
it. On that. Well, you could say Trump did a really good thing for the economy for the first like 6 months, and then he just totally fucking torpedoed it, which was probably because of Obama. So, I mean,
right. Yeah.
My 401k looks like shit right now, so it's not Trump.
So Jefferson. Jefferson's the best one.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Abe Lincoln did get that whole Emancipation Proclamation.
He did free the slaves.
Yeah, but
it's not because he necessarily wanted to free the slaves. There was other shit going on.
Listen, I get it. There was a lot of other shit going on, but he did make it happen.
Well, and he obviously was good enough to where there was like several factions trying to take him out, where they were actually trying to overthrow the government. It wasn't just the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. They were trying to also take out everybody who would succeed him, like four or five right. deep.
I'm pretty sure Paul and Nick made a website called LincolnFreedTheSlaves.com.
What about that cripple?
Oh, Franklin Delano?
Wasn't he the New Deal?
He's the one that got us through World War II for the most part, yeah.
Yeah, but what didn't he put the New Deal out there? The New Deal was garbage. So
the New Deal was Woodrow Wilson.
Oh, is it Wilson? The New Deal?
He was garbage.
So
all right, that guy sucked.
Travis Jefferson, he's the best one. Next topic.
JFK. I mean, he was up there, right?
No.
People love JFK.
I mean, yeah, he was a popular guy, but I mean, what did he do?
I mean, he was sleeping around on his wife.
Are you going to beat bought half of America?
He banged Mimi Beardsley.
Oh, she's my favorite mistress of his.
Guys, what we're going to do, we're going to go to break. I want to talk to Travis about his flashback weekend, Matt, because
that's always fun to talk about.
I'm so excited.
And I want to talk about the bombshell that Drunk dropped on me last week, too. We got a lot to talk about.
I don't even remember that.
Guys, I'm really happy that I'm going to tell my Blink-182 story every week now. That's going to be a new feature of the show. I'm going to talk about my Blink-182 story.
Can we do that? Like, can we have like a month where you do that? Like every year, maybe not do it every week, but like, hey, it's the Blink-182 month.
Every week, Travis, this is the Mike Tells His Blink-182 Story podcast now.
Down.
Those feral hogs, they all go oink, 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 oink.
You're listening to StrangeLabel.com. Viva La.
Here is Mike with a quick update on the WFOD Hollywood Fantasy League.
So with Once Upon a Time in Hollywood putting up 66 points, the Po' Boys podcast ends their run with 314 points. That means we need 93 points out of Scary Stories and the Angry Birds. Not Safe for Water Coolers is going to get it, with Hobbs and Shaw having a surprisingly not terrible 60% Metacritic. We knew it was going to make bank, but we're kind of expecting it to be less favorably reviewed. Please go see Scary Stories this weekend, even if you'd rather see Dora the Explorer. Buy a ticket for Scary Stories and sneak in. Jesus, we're going to lose, aren't we?
Dubfod goes hard.
I was once with Verizon. Not anymore. Used to ask if you can hear me now, but I switched to Sprint.
Hey, you're the...
I used to ask if you can hear me now, but I switched to Sprint.
I switched too.
Great.
All the networks are great. We're talking within a 1% difference in reliability. And Sprint's listed 3% of most current national
airtime. Sprint's reliability is now within 1% difference.
1% more airtime.
Sprint is safe and great
twice. We're talking within a 1% difference in reliability.
Can you hear that?
No.
Sprint's current national
airtime. Oh, God. What phone carrier do we have?
AT&T, I think? Why?
Paul isn't coming to it, is he?
Paul who?
The Can You Hear Me Now guy. He switched to Sprint. Can he switch again? We switch.
No, I don't think so. Why?
I don't trust him, that Paul. I don't support what he did.
Go back to bed, Mike.
Can you hear me now? Good.
I can no longer remain silent. Michael is always too dramatic. Once again, WFOD. Wheelbarrow full of dicks.
Gone so long. Ever since she left me, I should feel all alone. A little misunderstanding, I can't get her on the telephone. Hanging out down the main street, living in a different world. Standing around with the gang on the corner, talking about my girl.
So speaking about the best places, I mean, Matt's probably used to this because they got him up there and it's still relatively new to being back in St. Louis. But man, Duncan is the greatest place.
Coffee?
Yeah.
Duncan, best coffee, Matt? Do you agree with that?
No.
No? Best coffee, Matt?
I think Starbucks.
See, this thing here... $3.89. If I'd have paid $3.89 at Starbucks, I'd have gotten that much coffee. Instead, I got a 32-ounce cup of coffee.
Well, I mean, so you're talking about, like, not necessarily the best coffee. But
well,
the
no,
best
it's delicious, and it doesn't...
For your buck.
It doesn't hurt my tum-tum as bad as Starbucks does either.
Huh. No, it's Quick Trip in Wisconsin.
Like QT? Quick Trip?
No, KT. It's Quick Trip.
I was about to say, you guys have different Quick Trips than we do.
Yeah, your QT's bullshit. There's nothing like Quick Trip.
Travis, what would you say is the best flashback weekend?
Ooh, probably 2014 when I got to take that Freddy Krueger makeup picture.
Right. We talked about that a great deal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, man. I was never so jazzed in my life when I came around the corner and saw Robert Englund in the Freddy makeup with the glove. It was the best.
And you said, Robert, big fan. Is that what you said?
Is it?
I think it was something like, hey. And then he's like, ah. And then they rush you through those photo ops pretty quickly.
He was in character.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
He wasn't like, oh, hello, sir.
That was about what it was. It was like, hey, and they rushed. All those professional photo ops take like 2 seconds. But then, like, if you actually go to their table, then you get some time with them.
So he just went, rah!
I don't think it was even that. It was just like, okay, pose. We're going to take a picture.
That'll be $400.
Out of that fucking room. they rush like 100 people through those photo ops in like 20 minutes.
Is it bad that I've never seen a Friday the 13th movie?
That's what sucks is what?
Yeah, never seen.
Did you say Friday the 13th?
Or Nightmare on Elm was, I don't
know. There we go.
Drunk doesn't like scary movies, Travis.
No. Nope. Any of them?
He doesn't like scary movies.
Nope. Not even on HBO when you were a kid?
Is Friday the 13th that much different than Nightmare on Elm?
Yes, they're very different.
Yes.
is Hellraiser any different than Leprechaun?
Oh, I mean, come on.
Freddy, he gets you in your dreams.
I think I saw Children of the Corn.
He goes, I'm going to eat you and stuff. And Jason just kind of walks around with a machete.
Never seen any of the Jason movies, no. Yeah.
So, which one are the Jason ones?
What's
Friday,
that?
Friday the 13th.
Oh.
Right? Oh, sorry. I thought you were legitimately asking and I was
sad. I wanted to see if...
Matt, what would you say is the best slasher guy?
Scream.
So I mean, like, slasher? I guess you got like what? Freddy, Jason, Michael Myers. I guess we'll put Saw in there.
You can throw a pin. You can throw a pinhead in there if you want.
Pinhead, Candyman.
I don't think Saw is a slasher at all.
The Jeeper ghost, Creeper,
Ghostface.
Well, okay, Matt. Would Saw win?
I know what
Saw
you did last summer. Does that guy count?
That Fisherman
that's a slasher.
Yeah, that's a slasher.
Yeah, yeah. Ghostface. Which one's the best? Child's Play. Leatherface. Which one's the best one, Matt? Best slasher.
You know what? I might be on the unpopular opinion on this, but I think Scream is maybe the best slasher.
See, but the Scream is kind of a parody of those movies. I mean, it isn't. It's serious, but I mean, it is like pretty much the whole movie. They're talking about the tropes of those movies.
And yeah. but every single person to wear the Ghostface mask was a different character.
Right.
So you can't really say, ooh, Ghostface is the best slasher, because in every single movie, it was a different person.
Yeah, but wouldn't you say that Ghostface is the slasher, regardless of who encompasses?
Well,
Skeet Ulrich.
Is slasher. It was Skeet Ulrich and Matthew Lillard in the first one.
Yeah, Ulrich was the Ghostface, and all the rest were a bunch of poser dipshits.
Yeah, the second one was Roseanne's sister, Jackie. Who is the third one? Jenny McCarthy?
Travis, do you have good stories from Flashback Weekend? We're getting off
topic. Yeah, I definitely gotta hear.
I mean, like, we gotta hear about all the signatures you got.
I only got two. I don't have great stories, really.
I got one question.
Yeah, yeah.
How much was the cheeseburger at the Caddyshack?
Like $14.
Yes. was it good? Was it all right?
I got an Italian beef, and yes, it was worth it because we were in Chicago, and it was quite the Italian beef was quite good in the Caddyshack restaurant.
So you got the Zane gal, the one that you really wanted.
Well, first I walked around, but I got there and I had to shower because it was 4-hour drive, and I'm a very sweaty guy, especially lately for some apparent reason, and I showered again, had a beer or two, walked around the floor.
You don't turn on
the
air conditioning while you drive?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I'm still like back sweating shit, you know, like it's 4 hours.
I know what you're saying.
Oh, dude, I gotta like when I go on trips like that, I'm hoodie, sweatpants. I crank that shit solo. Fuck it.
Oh, the air conditioner couldn't have gone any higher in that thing. It's still not going to do it. But so I got down there and made my walk around the dealer room just to kind of check out the merch and see where all of the different quote unquote celebs were planted.
So they all have like their own table, I guess.
Yeah, they all have their own table, and typically they are assigned like a handler. So that way they're not handling their own money. You know, so it doesn't seem so ridiculous that they're like, can I have my money, please?
So they don't look like strippers pulling out their G-string. I don't need you to put some money.
So then they're not the one being uncool.
Right, exactly. They're the ones you talk to them initially and ask them if they can sign something or whatever. And then you talk to their handler to see, you know, either how much they charge or you hand them the money so they're not taking it themselves. After I walked around for a while and talked to some like-minded folks and whatnot and checked out the dealer room, I did go up and I grabbed my Monster Squad DVD because there was a Night of the Creeps reunion. It was the biggest one ever, apparently, where they had the director and all the stars and shit there.
Biggest one ever, drunk.
I don't know what that
there
means.
there was people who had never done conventions before from that movie that were there. And while I like Night of the Creeps, it wasn't necessarily my jam, and I wasn't about to shell out $300 on signatures from everybody. So I did, though, bring my Monster Squad DVD because the director of Night of the Creeps was also the director of the classic
Monster Squad. Pretty cool. That's pretty sick.
And he was great. Like there was a guy in front of me chatting with him that wasn't getting signatures or anything. That was just kind of talking to him. And he had some really great stories that I was listening to. And then I popped up underneath there and I had a good 10, 15 minutes with him because Friday night is like typically like the slowest time. People show up on Saturday and start to do all that shit. So I had a good 10, 15 minutes with him just kind of relating how cool, you know, how much of a piece of my childhood the Monster Squad was and how I waited till just the right time to show my kids the Monster Squad so they would appreciate it and shit.
I was gonna say, as I watched your pictures and stuff from this weekend, like I've been to these conventions like similar to this, and I've had a good time, but I've always had a good time because, like, I've gone with you know, the guys, Dave and Joe.
Oh,
like,
sure.
If I went by myself, there's no way that I would be going up and having these conversations. And it's like, I really envy that you're there just by yourself having as much fun as you're having.
Well, and it's crazy.
I don't think I could do that.
It's crazy to me too, because like, I'm not typically like a super outgoing kind of guy, but it feels, yeah. It's just like those kind of places, everybody's there for the same thing, right? Like I've never gone there and had any kind of a difficult time finding people to talk to or hang out with for like an hour or two. And, you know, even at night when, you know, everybody's like, oh, let's start to party. You can always find people to hang out with, and everybody's very welcoming. It's like, hey, you know, what did you come here for? And
it's kind of like the gathering of the Juggalos, Matt.
Sure.
Like everybody there is a Juggalo.
And I understand. I understand that. Like, and that's what's so crazy to me is even with that mentality, right? Like I have to have the security blanket of, all right, I can crack wise with the person that I know, but Travis can go there not knowing anybody and immediately just so comfortable with the material that's around him, with the reason that you're there, the whole fucking thing, and just fit right in. And I can't do that. Yeah,
I can't go see a movie by myself.
I go to a movie by myself because I'm by myself. But like, you know, I can go to a concert by myself because I'm by myself. I just can't go to a concert by myself and then immediately start making best friends with everybody around me because we're there
and
for the same
and get your
reason.
Monster Squad DVD signed.
So, well, and that was what was amazing about that too, is like when, you know, most of these, the only reason I go like every other year kind of, and it's usually when I have like a strong connection to something that's there, right? Like obviously, you know, if they got a new person from Nightmare on Elm Street there, I'm probably going to go. But it also is like when I saw Fred Dekker was going to be there, like I said, not a huge Night of the Creeps fan, even though I very much liked it. The Monster Squad was such a huge piece of my childhood.
Yeah.
And Fred Dekker has done some amazing things, you know, beyond that. He did he worked with Shane Black on, you know, obviously Monster Squad, I think they wrote together, and then the new Predator they did and everything like that. He's been around for a long time and has done a lot of cool stuff. And, you know, so just the fact that I could get 10, and I don't get me wrong, when I first approached him, I was kind of nervous, you know what I mean? And like, but most of these people are kind of professionals at this thing where they like know exactly how to like put you at ease. You know, you just start having a conversation with them. And that's what happened with Fred Dekker. So I actually, it was such a joyful experience and I had such a good time in that 10 to 15 minutes that I got to talk to him because he didn't have a line. Like I said, it was Friday, so it was kind of dead, that he, you know, didn't rush me along or anything. Nobody was rushing me along. I just got to have a really nice conversation with him where I felt so good about it that I walked away without, like, you know, he was giving away, you know, it was free table selfies if you, you know, like, purchase a signature.
That's just where I'm saying the envy is. Like, I would feel so uncomfortable that I'm, like, wasting this person's time that I would just rush through it and not have a moment with them.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
In the back of your mind, you're thinking, oh, this guy doesn't want to be talking to me.
Like he gets a million me's.
Yeah, this guy's here to make money. This guy isn't here to.
But you got to figure that anytime that you're creating anything and putting anything out there, anytime you can get a guy coming up to you or a gal coming up to you or a kid coming up to you, because there's tons of kids at these things.
Yeah.
You know, that their parents bring them along. And you can tell, like, these kids have stars in their eyes too. Like, you're talking, you know, like 8, 9, 10-year-olds who are like so happy to be meeting these people who, you know, they produced this thing 30 years ago or 20 years ago or whatever, that it's so brand new to them that when they come up to these people and say that they appreciate a piece of work that they did 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago, how happy it's got to make those people.
I mean, like, we're,
yeah, you know, you're right.
I'm really just, that's my own insecurity. I get
it. Of course. I know what you're saying.
Right. I get that it's not them, and I get that they probably have, like, they don't have an issue.
I'm going to act a fool, and they're going to think I'm dumb, and why would they give a shit about spending 2 seconds with me? Right.
Right.
Right. I get it. Well, and that Lisa Zane was a one that was kind of a quickie because she, like, I had gone back up then with my Monster Squad.
I didn't realize that you cheated on your wife. That's
not quite like that. But it was like I was planning. She was the only other one that I was planning on getting. I was thinking about doing a Robert Englund photo op and then maybe get his signatures. But it's so time consuming to do that, right? Like between getting like planting the photo op, it's like, okay, if I do the photo op at 2:45 on Saturday, and I get that line skip on Sunday, and I can do it Sunday morning right away, where I'm gonna wait in line for a half hour.
So there's a whole strategy to this.
You really have to strategize. Like Bruce Campbell and Sam Raimi, their photo ops and their signatures actually sold out for Saturday. You couldn't get them on Saturday unless you pre-purchased because there was so many people there to see them. And I actually never laid eyes on Sam Raimi all weekend. Like they must have had him like holed up somewhere, but I saw Bruce Campbell.
Like they bring him in through the back door for just the time that he's going to be there and then rush him out.
Right. And I mean, there was plenty. And I think they had him actually booked pretty solid for photo ops and signatures.
Oh, yeah.
That was all
Sam Raimi. I mean,
yeah, it's Sam.
That's the big guy of the weekend.
Well, then that's the thing. I couldn't believe it. Right. Like even like I was discussing with some other people is like, I really can't believe Sam Raimi is even here. I mean, he directed the first three Spider-Man movies and, I mean, he's directed some huge ass movies, even though he's done a bunch of genre stuff. I mean, he's like a pretty big director.
He's a huge director, but he's got so many of those smaller films that are kind of like the cult classics. Like,
absolutely.
So
well, just
it,
Evil
Dead
almost and
hurts
then
him not
to
do it. Like, you know, there's a lot of directors, I would say, that don't have the cult following that Sam Raimi does, right? Like Sam Raimi obviously has the huge, massive hits that are blockbusters, but also he's got the underground shit that,
he came from genre, right? Like he came from making Evil Deads and things like that before he was actually given the opportunity to make some of these bigger things. I mean, even up until like 1990 something, like where he was directing Darkman and shit, and I think that's probably the opportunities, right? Like you're like, hey, I got enough of this stuff under my belt, and now Bruce Campbell was under a contract actually with Wizard World where he could only do Wizard World conventions. And his contract with Wizard World expired last year, so now he can do these other conventions and shit, and charge more money. Actually,
it's just crazy because Sam Raimi obviously, like, he's at this convention. He doesn't need it.
He doesn't have to do this. No, absolutely, right. Absolutely.
Like Bruce Campbell.
But I mean, if they put a big pile of money in your lap and they say, "Hey, Sam, come spend a weekend here," and we'll
like. You'll never see probably like Tobey Maguire doing one of these conventions. Right?
Well, that's like, not necessarily true because like if you look right now and it may, like a convention like this, you're right. But if you look at like these comic conventions, like you have like the Ace Comic Con coming up in October. It's actually over the weekend of my birthday. I'm like the 11th, 12th and 13th, I believe. And Tom Holland is there. Brie Larson is there.
Pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, they have a bunch of like Marvel movie people, like huge people there right now. But with those people, you are literally going to spend $300.
But I mean, those are instances of strike where the iron's hot. I mean, Sam.
Oh, exactly. Because if you think about it, if you get even if you only got 100 people to spend $300 on your signature, which you're going to obviously get a lot more than that.
Right.
You're making hundreds of thousands of dollars over the course of a weekend.
I mean, like those Walking Dead guys. I mean, like, you know, they show up for a weekend. They're on a hit TV show. Like if they get killed off, they're unemployed, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
So let's make some money. But even though like Norman Reedus is like a staple at a lot of those Wizard World conventions.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And that guy gets nothing but a line. But the funny thing about that is he probably gets laid all weekend, too, because when that dude walks through the hall or like of a hotel like that he's staying at, that they have like an after party at the conventions. Like he walks through the hall and it's like the fucking Beatles are there. Like there are screaming girls following him through the goddamn hallways, which is insane to me. It's like it's the weirdest thing I've ever seen was when I saw Norman Reedus at a Wizard World convention in Chicago. And it was literally like the Beatles were walking through the fucking hallway. It was insane.
It was, I think at a Rhode Island, Comic-Con, which was the first year that we went, was really like kind of a small event. And Michael Rooker was there, but he was there based off of his Walking Dead. You know, Guardians hadn't come out yet.
Sure.
Or Guardians was set to come out, you know, that year. And, like, so he was there and not a lot of people. Like, they were there to see him for Walking Dead and all that. But he didn't even have a table where he was seated signing. He was, like, one of the tables that was kind of off to the side.
Oh, he was like a picture, like a picture guy, like a, you had to buy.
Yeah, like you could go up there. Yeah, exactly. Like he was just kind of standing in front of his table, waiting for people to come up to him and see him. You know, it just wasn't a big thing. And now obviously he's, you know, he's fucking Yondu. So.
Which is funny too. That guy's another genre guy. One of these started as
Drunk. I think me and you, we should go together. Don't you think? Go to one of these things. We need to experience it.
I would have no idea what's going on, but sure.
These two jamokes, they go to these things and they talk about them, and Travis talks about it so romantically, Drunk.
Well, it's funny too, because the last 25 minutes, I've had no clue what they're fucking.
Yeah, and about. I mean, I'm thinking to myself, I would hate this. There would be a bunch of people. I would just want to leave as soon as I got there, but maybe it'd be fun. You never know, Drunk. Yeah. You never know.
So I guess I got one more question for Travis as far as, so is part of the reason that you go to these things, that way you can, you know, flip your Monster Squad DVD for an extra $40 now that you got it signed? Or?
No. Like none of the things that I've ever got signed at these conventions have I ever even thought about.
So now that it's signed, that's like in your collection, never ever getting sold.
Oh, absolutely. And it's a DVD. Like the Monster Squad DVD is the, I didn't have the Blu-ray. This is the Monster Squad DVD. I haven't bought the Blu-ray. So now that I have this DVD signed, I'll be buying the Blu-ray so I can just watch that. I'm not even going to watch this.
Travis, do you ever wonder what will happen to all the stuff that you've accumulated throughout your life?
Like when my wife and kids are gonna throw it right in an incinerator.
Are they gonna pawn it?
It would make you an extra $40, wouldn't it?
I mean, are they gonna try to sell it on eBay, or are they just gonna throw it in the garbage?
Well, like, this is the thing. This is what I'll gauge as my kids and stuff get a little bit older, is whether or not they're going to want the burden of all of this stuff. You know, that was cool to me. What, you know,
right.
And if they don't, once I get to a certain age, probably, like if I make it that far, if I'm thinking about retirement or whatever, then maybe I'll think about selling it if my kids have no interest in having it. You know what I mean? Because then otherwise it's just like, oh, I die and my wife or my kids have to figure out what to do with, you know, 50 years of fucking collecting.
Right. Like I've gone to Goodwills several times and looked through their CDs and stuff and found signed CDs.
Oh yeah.
And a lot of times I'll just buy them because they're a dollar and who gives a shit.
Sure. Why not?
And like you have to wonder like
why?
What did somebody go through to get this signature? Like, did they stand in a big long line and then like what, they died and then they just took all their shit to Goodwill.
Right, their shithead right. son. Was
and
like,
this signature probably meant something to someone at some point. And then I'm just buying it for a dollar at Goodwill and never thinking about it again.
And that's actually a thing that, you know, that they, when you're getting into like the flipping thing or whatever, and you're getting into thrift stores and stuff too, is they actually say is like, look in the book section, like obviously for weird out of print books or older books or whatever, but also like flip through them, see if they're signed, because signed copies of certain books by certain people or whatever will sell for a premium. So yeah, I think it happens more often than not. And I have a lot of signed comics like built into my collection. I have signed CDs and signed DVDs and I got all sorts of signed shit that all mean a lot to me that I wouldn't get rid of. You know, but I have bought signature.
But you will like, have comics. To get rid of them eventually is the deal.
Yeah, right.
Or your house will just catch on fire and you'll lose
it. And it'll all burn up and I'll be out hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Right. And you'll think, fuck, man. I had that Nightmare on Elm Street DVD signed by everybody. I even like got the Zane
40
gal.
People. Yeah, I finally got Lisa Zane. Right. Finally got Lisa Zane. Yeah, and that was like, I did get her that Friday night or whatever too. That was the only two signatures I got all weekend. I do have a bunch of pictures that I got taken because they do have that Saturday night. You know, if you have that ultimate pass that gets you in front of the Q&As and gets you free t-shirts and shit like that. It also gets you that access to that like 1 hour cocktail party with all of the guests there that you can hang out with. I actually bought Lance Henriksen a shot and got pictures with him and that kind of thing too. So yeah, that's so I got a bunch of pictures and stuff too and had a really good time. Actually, that celebrity party was at like 6 o'clock, and I once it was done at like 7 o'clock. I believe I just went back to my room and I woke up at like 11:30. I'm like, oh, I guess I got a little inebriated because it's been 4.5 hours since that party and I don't remember anything at the end. I actually didn't remember walking back to my room when that was done. So, yeah. So then I woke up and went back downstairs and actually went back down to the bar and thought, oh, this is probably the place to be, and grabbed a beer. And Tony Todd showed up then, like, to grab a couple of Coronas to take back to his room. And I ended up talking to Tony Todd for, like, 25 minutes or whatever at the bar, too.
Did you ask him about 9-11?
Had some time with Candyman. Ask him about what?
9-11?
He was – it's not funny. He was actually talking about – we were actually talking or whatever. And while I was at this convention, all of these crazy mass shootings obviously happened. And you could tell he was in a pretty dour mood, and he started talking about people being nicer to each other and like what we got to do to like.
Oh, he's a weird dude. Like, he's a pretty eccentric guy.
Well, it's not weird to say we should be nicer to each other, Matt.
No. But I mean, like, he was in a dour mood because of everything that went down, and I get it. You know, but it was just like such a weird thing to have happen, and then to have Tony Todd show up at the bar and be like, really down, and be like, man, we got to fix this. What are we gonna do? You know what I mean? Would you just right. like chatting with him at the bar, and he's like, just like, people got to be nice. We got to figure out how we can be nicer to each other and how we can fix our communications as human beings and stuff. And you know, like I said, it was like I'm like half awake and like starting to get drunk again from like passing out like from that celebrity party and like talking to Tony Todd about all these like crazy shit going on. It was very surreal.
Fucking Tony Todd, man.
Yeah, I know. No, he brings everybody together.
He's right, though. We should be nicer to each other, guys.
Let's be nicer to each other.
I'm not disagreeing with that, obviously.
I don't either. Not at all. I mean, that's not what I'm saying either. I completely agree, but it was a surreal moment in my days.
Yeah.
It's been a weird couple of days. But then, you know, we've already moved on to what the 30 to 50 wild pigs. Is that 30 to 50 wild pigs? And there's a rapper guy that got a Kardashian a bunch of roses. So,
yeah, guys. Now we're good to go again.
Yeah. We just got to say, oh, yeah, we should do something. The Kardashian got a bunch of roses.
Paradise Island is on, or The Bachelorette is on tonight, so don't worry about it.
Matt, would you say you have a pick of the week, Matt? Something you want to know about?
I do have a pick of the week, and I finally finished. You know what? What do I want? Do you want my pick of the week to be musical or television related?
Do them both.
Matt, before you get there, who is the best musician?
Prince.
I knew Travis was going to say that. I guess Prince probably is. I mean, it's hard to make an argument against him. Like, who's better than Prince?
Elvis Presley.
Elvis
Presley's really good.
Maybe musician, like, because they play their instrument well?
Well, let's say, like, who made the best songs, Matt? Who has the best body of work?
Yeah.
Prince has a lot
John
of
Lennon?
A lot of track. I mean, Prince
I was,
has some
I was
good.
Thinking Paul McCartney.
Paul McCartney or John Lennon or like the duo.
Have you guys heard Wings? Come on.
Yeah.
Wings is not any good.
Or The Fireman. Travis, did you ever hear The Fireman? Paul McCartney's album, The Fireman.
It's probably not good.
It's not very good, no. And I don't know why we're leaving out George Harrison.
I was about to say, George Harrison, when he went solo, was amazing.
I got my mind set on you. Yep.
I got my mind set on you. Guys, so did Matt give a pick of the week?
He did not. No, he was going to. Pick of the week. Let's do it. Matt.
pick of the week.
Okay. All right. So I've been listening to a lot of Audio Slave recently, and fuck if I don't just so great. I don't know if people go back and visit Audio Slave, but Chris Cornell, God, it just sucks that he's not here anymore, making music, because even just that, just Audio Slave, which was a side project of his, it's just really fucking great stuff. So I really recommend, if you haven't listened to Audio Slave in a while.
I haven't.
I think they only did like three records. Yeah, just go spend some time with it, because fucking phenomenal.
I think I remember.
I remember the first one kicking ass.
When that
for sure.
Was Cochise, their first song.
Yeah. Cochise.
When
is
that
just
came out, like I didn't like it, and then
oh my god! After watching the music video to Cochise on like Fuse, and thinking to myself, "What is this?" And
that's just the one how that awesome sounds. That's the one that sounds like Soundgarden mixed with Rage Against the Machine, right?
Oh, it's completely,
when I've
yeah.
been watching.
Yeah, that like most of the other rough. Stuff didn't sound like that, but that was an amazing introduction into Audio Slave. Was like, hey, these are these members from these two different bands. Watch how we make this song sound like both
it
bands.
It grew on me after a while. With repetition, I was finally.
Oh, I love Cochise, but I mean, even after that, when you have songs like Be Yourself, Like a Stone, like all of the dude, just spend some time with all three records, because
I'm going to
really
this week,
tremendous
I'm
going to
revisit Audio Slave, Matt. I'm going to do it for you.
And what a shame. What a fucking shame.
Drunk pick of the week.
No, I wanted to hear his video pick.
My video pick of the week is The Boys on Amazon Prime.
Uh-huh. Of course it is.
Ugh.
If you watch The Boys, it's your pick of the week.
Yeah. I've watched like four of them, Matt. That was, it's pretty tremendous. Good. Yeah, it's a good watch. It's fucking dark though, man.
It's so dark. Like I said, like we talked about in private, the plane episode was like a fucking sock in my gut. It was
there's no
in my gut.
There is no redeemable qualities about most of these characters.
Starlight,
like 90. I'm saying 98% of the characters are. There's no good qualities. They're all kind of pieces of shit. Yep. They're all trying to. You know, even Starlight, who is the most redeeming like she's got the best things going for her, kind of a little bit of a tiny bit of a piece of shit, you know, like, you know, it's just, but so good, man. This show is amazing.
Yeah. So that's on Amazon. And guys, Amazon actually lets you cast to Google things now, which is very
watching
helpful.
That. And I was watching the Sneaky Pete as well. Amazon Prime's got a couple of good shows.
Drunk pick of the week, Drunk?
Sure, Drunk's pick of the week this Sunday, SummerSlam. Getting two Hall of Famers back out there.
Oh, yeah.
Hulk Hogan?
Nope. Trish the Dish Stratus will be wrestling Charlotte Flair. And Bill Goldberg will be wrestling Dolph Ziggler.
So if the question is who's next, it's Dolph Ziggler, guys. Dolph Ziggler's next. Yep. That was what Goldberg used to say, guys. Okay, yeah, I guess the boy.
Oh, I thought you were talking about he'd be in NXT.
Travis, wrestling. The boys would have been my pick of the week, but I guess I'll go with Hobbs and Shaw. I saw the other day.
Oh, is it good?
Travis, it's a lot of fun.
It's like Fast and the Furious movies, then. It's just like ridiculous but fun.
Yeah, you know, like it's like The Rock or Jason Statham or the Fast and the Furious movie. It's fucking stupid as shit.
Of course.
It's a lot of fun, though, guys. If you want to have a good time.
I saw a list where it's already like top 10 buddy cop movie. I was like, for real?
Is it that good? Not accurate.
But, I mean, you got to wonder, when will there be justice for Han, you know what I mean? Justice.
Is he
for
still
Han.
Not back?
Doggy, get off.
No.
I still feel like he's coming back in one of these movies, right? Like they'll be like, ha ha, he faked his death.
Yeah. Maybe. I guess, did they actually show him die?
I don't remember. Was that in
I think
two?
His car blows up. Well, he...
Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Hello? Oh, boy.
Oh, my God.
Oh, you done did it.
You done did it.
You done did it.
You done fucking did it.
This goddamn dog, I'll tell you what. Travis, pick of the week, Travis.
I get a dog. I don't have hey, a pick of it. I've been watching Entourage for like a week and a half, so I guess revisit Vinny Chase and his pals in Entourage.
Vinny Chase, guys. Guys, we did it. It's a good time. We learned a lot. Travis, we learned a lot, you know?
We learn so much every week, I believe.
Travis, best vegetable?
Oh, cauliflower. Totally.
Okay.
Oh, I like this song, too, Mike. Okay. Thank you for playing this.
Okay. Guys, we'll do it again next week. We appreciate all of you.
Love this song.
You like it, Matt? A good song?
I do. I don't like the Gallagher people that much, but this song is fucking great.
They put watermelons on people.
This ain't the Gallaghers. This is the Fratellis.
No, Travis. It's a Gallagher. He smashes watermelons. Guys, thank you. See you on down the trail. You know what I'm saying? Bye.
Guns out, phones out. You only get to do it once. I think it's true what they say, that the dream is borrowed. You give it back tomorrow, minus the sorrow. And that pain, she just comes in to break up the daydream. A knife edge is waving to keep from feeling the same thing.
Lots of good stuff happening. It's going to be juicy. You'll see. All right. Bye for now. Take good care of yourself. Bye.